Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Q3 FY23 earnings conference call of VRL Logistics Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Alok S. Deora from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the 3Q FY23 earnings conference call for VRL Logistics. We have with us today Mr. Sunil Nalavadi, the CFO of the company. I would now hand over the call to Mr. Nalavadi to give opening remarks and discuss on the performance of the company. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Alok. Good morning to all participants. I'm Sunil Nalavadi, CFO of VRL Logistics Interior. I welcome all of you once again for the earnings conference call of the company for the period ended December 2022. We are glad to inform you that as we strategized to focus on high-growth goods transport business, the exit from the remaining segment process have been completed as on date. We wish to inform you that the other key segments, such as wind power business and bus operations business, are discontinued and received the applicable relevant regulatory approvals. Since the said approvals have been received in the month of January 2023, the profit on sale of these businesses will be accounted in quarter four of this year. As mentioned in the press release, the profit before tax on sale of these businesses is to the tune of rupees 187 crores. That is, from wind power business, it will be around 10 crores, and for bus operation business, it will be around 177 crores. This is profit before tax. The company has received the consideration on these sales transactions as on date and predominantly used for the repayment of debt, capital expenditure, and also we invested around 50 crores in mutual funds to take care of related tax expenses on these transactions and which will be paid prior to the due date. We wish to state that the net debt of the company stands at rupees 46 crores as of 31st December, and it was around 130 crores during the beginning of this financial year, and as of second quarter end, it was around 164 crores. If we consider investment in mutual funds, we are debt-free as of today. With respect to the performance of the business is concerned, the performance of the goods transport business was better than the expected level in the current quarter. The revenue from goods transport segment increased to rupees 675 crores from 596 crores on a year-on-year basis. The increase in revenue is mainly on account of increase in tonnage, which has been reached to 1,010,000 tons in the current quarter, as against 877,000 tons in the previous year, which is increased by almost around 15%. We wish to state that our average daily tonnage handling has been reached to 10,900 tons in the current quarter. The increase in tonnage is on account of increase in the branch network by the company. We added around 218 branches post-pandemic, and these branches have contributed around 12% to the total tonnage in quarter three. Our strategy of expansion of branch network is going to be continued and planning to add around 25-30 branches every quarter, especially in the untapped market. Apart from the expansion in branch network, we are acknowledging that many of the customers are shifting from unorganized operators to us on account of increase in compliances under GST law. Some of the sectors have grown tremendously in the current quarter. To name a few, the agriculture products and equipments, these commodities have been increased by around 47% on year-on-year basis. The automobiles has been increased by around 25%. The educational goods related item, which is increased by around 31%. FMCG products are increased by around 23%. Footwear is around 36%. Metals and hardware around 28%. Further, we wish to inform you that the turnover limit for e-invoicing requirement is further reduced to rupees 10 crores to the business entity from 1st October 2022. This will force the many business entities to fall in compliance network, which is going to support us in the process of shifting of clients from unorganized sector. Considering the stagnant or little dip in realization, we have increased the freight rates by 5% on non-contractual freight business, which is contributing almost around 60 to 65% of the tonnage. And this rate increase we did from mid of December 2022. This will support us to increase the realization and pass on the increase in cost to the customer to maintain the better margins in coming days. When it comes to EBITDA margins of the goods transport segment, we again back to the normal EBITDA in the current quarter. We have reached to 16.5% EBITDA. The year-on-year EBITDA is impacted on account of increase in fuel cost. As we informed earlier, the bulk purchase of diesel from the refineries has stopped from February 2022 due to abnormal increase in the cost as compared to the retail price. And it impacted as additional cost of ₹2 per liter we used to save earlier. We wish to state that currently on account of reduction in crude oil prices, the bulk purchase diesel prices are in line with the retail prices, and again we started to buy the bulk fuel from the refineries from mid of December 2022. As of today, we are procuring around 30% of our requirement, say approximately 80,000 liters per day from the refinery, as compared to the total fuel requirement of around 250,000 liters per day. The lorry air charges also increased as a percentage to the revenue as compared to last year. It was around 8.63% in the last year, which has been increased to 10.2%. This is mainly on account of engagement of more outside vehicles and increase in the kilometers of hired vehicles. And also the lorry hire charges per kilometer have been increased. The toll charges also has been increased as compared to last year. The percentage to revenue is increased to 7.42% from 5.98%. The increase in toll rates is, one is increase in toll rates from April 2022 around 5.6%. Not only that, if we compare the toll plazas across India, last year this number was around 867 numbers. Now the toll plazas in the country increased to 1204 numbers. So on account of this, the toll charges are continuously increasing. The loading and unloading charges also increased from 5.9% to 6.56%. This is only on account of increase in the rates to the loading and unloading labors. The employee cost also increased from 13.76% to 14.45%. This is on account of annual increment effected from the month of January 2022. Against these expenses increase, the vehicle repairs and maintenance cost has been reduced. This is on account of increase in the kilometers covered by the new vehicles. So on account of that, the vehicle repairs and maintenance as a percentage to the revenue has been declined. Similarly, in the current quarter, the revenue from goods transport segment is increased by around 4%, and EBITDA margins we reached again from 15.5% to 16.5%. Almost 1% there is an improvement in the EBITDA margin in the current quarter. This is mainly on account of, one is the decrease in the diesel cost. Around 0.33% the diesel cost has been decreased. And similarly, the vehicle running and repair expenses have been decreased. The tire cost is also decreased. The employee cost, which is mainly in fixed in nature, this is also has been reduced. So with this, and considering the expansion plan in terms of expansion of branch network, shift of customers from unorganized to organized players, and increase in the fleet size, we are very much confident that our growth plans or the growth rate what we are maintaining today will be continued going forward. On margin side also, since the bulk purchase of fuel is already started, and also we increase the freight rates on non-contractual freight, which is almost around 60 to 65% of the total tonnage from mid of December, these two factors are going to help us to increase the margin side also and pass on the increase in expenses to the customers. So we are hoping that there will be further improvement in EBITDA margins in the coming quarters. With this, I conclude initial remarks. Now I request to the participants to have any questions to have or give more clarifications if any doubts. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Mukesh Saraf from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on the volume growth. You have mentioned that 12% of the volumes this quarter have come from the branches that you've added last year and this year, which is about 218 odd branches. So I was just wondering, given that we have reported a 15% volume growth, and bulk of it is coming from the branches that we've added, these 218 branches, so and we have like 1,000 plus branches, so it seems like the growth is not so much in the remaining 800 odd branches. So could you give some you know, sense about why the growth is not, I mean, it's just maybe a couple of percent, 1 or 2% growth yes in those other branches. Is there still some kind of competition there, or what exactly is happening there?
So basically, this 12% how we are computing is, it is from both the sides, booking as well as delivery happening from these branches and connected with the existing branches. The reason why we are putting a 12% is, if, say, assume that if these branches were not there, even the existing booking branches were unable to contribute to this business. That's point number one. And point number two is, even many of the existing customers are using our network to increase in the tonnage. That is also another reason. And if you see, on a one side basis, if we consider, the net increase will be around 6%. The remaining all, again, it is from the existing branches also. In operations, how it will happen, it is connected both booking and delivery offices.
Right, right. So this tonnage that you report for the quarter, like this a million tons that you reported, that is one side only. That is not like both sides.
Yes.
Okay, okay. So actually that 12% is not a comparable number. Got it.
Yeah.
Right. And my second question is relating to pricing. I think the previous quarter also, you generally, your commentary suggested that your focus is going to be more on growth and you might not actually look at price hikes. But now in December, we have taken price hikes of 5% for the non-contractual customers. So is there some change, or I mean, do you see competition increase prices and hence you got this opportunity increase? So what has led to these price hikes, which was earlier not in house?
No, basically, see what happened, this expansion plan we are doing now after the pandemic, which is almost more than a year now. So, and the necessary, the volume growth is also happening. What we anticipated, actually, the growth is much better than that. So, at this scenario, considering the growth as per our plans, the tonnage is growing at our plan. So, at this moment, we thought that why can't we pass whatever additional expenses are we are incurring. These are all mainly the variable costs like toll charges and other things, say like the lorry charges. Why can't we pass it on to the customers? That is the thought process, and accordingly, we increase we take a decision of increasing the 5% rates.
Okay, so this 5% will entirely accrue to us. It's not like there will be some additional discounts, etc. This 5% will flow through in terms of realizations for us.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
And wherever the next quarter, again, we open around 25-30 branches. In the December quarter also, we opened around 30. So these routes, wherever we are entering, there actually there will be some competitive price, but not across all the routes.
Okay. Understood. And just one last one, very quickly. Last quarter, the margins were impacted because of, there were some goods in transit where the cost had been accounted for, but revenues not. And so this quarter, that has got normalized, sir, that costs and revenue, that mismatch?
Yeah, it is a normalized. See, as I indicated, the margins on account of that, say around 40 to 50 basis point. So that has been normalized in the current quarter.
In the current quarter. Got it. Got it. Right, sir. Thank you so much. I'll get back in the queue.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh Shah from Dimensional Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, sir. First, if I look at your lorry hire charges, it has been consistently increasing. So you have also mentioned in your presentation that cost per kilometer is also increasing. So on one hand, we are not able to, up until now, I mean, you took a price hike in December, but up until now, we were not able to take a price hike. But the lorry hire, but the lorries which we used to hire, they were able to take the price hike with us. So how would you explain this sort of dichotomy?
No, about increase in freight rates, this was our internal strategy. Since we were into more of an expansion mode and to acquire a lot of these, many of the new market, new customers, that was our strategy not to increase the freight rate. It was nothing to do with the market. Whereas on the other side, since the fuel rates increased, since the cost of toll charges are increased, so these lorry owners continuously, they have increased the rate.
Okay, okay. And
so the lorry charges rates are increasing. Now, to take care of these increases, again, we also take a rate hike in the mid of December. We increase around 5% rates on a non-contractual customers.
Okay. And while you have guided that we will continue to increase the number of branches, what would be the guidance on vehicles? Will we be adding more vehicles? Or this lorry hire charges will continue to stay where it is right now?
Now, if you see on quarter basis, the lorry hire charges is stagnant. So at this stage, actually, it will not increase beyond this level. It will be around, say, 10% to the revenue.
If I have to compare your own vehicle versus lorry vehicle, what would be the different margin differential? Where would we be making higher margins?
Higher margin, obviously, it will be in the company-owned vehicle because our vehicles are built as per our requirement. We are having a lot of advantages in our own vehicles. One is on account of size of the vehicles. We carry more load in our vehicles. Not only that, we are having effective cost controls, be it a fuel price, be it a driver payments, and even the maintenance costs. These are all costs are very, very controlled expenses in our own operations. But these things we do not have control on the outside vehicle. The outside vehicle, diesel he is going to increase at wherever he wants. The driver's actually cost he is going to increase. And apart from that, the vehicles they will not maintain properly. That will be additional cost for them. And even the size of the vehicle, the structures of the vehicles are not as per our requirements. But that's the reason actually we focus more on our addition of our own vehicles rather than depending on the outside vehicles. But under these circumstances, since the tonnage is expanding beyond our capacity expansion, so we need to depend on the higher vehicle until we increase our own capacity.
So that is what I was coming to. Since we are very confident about 18 to 20% volume growth for next, say, 2-3 years, yeah. Why aren't we being aggressive on adding our own vehicles as well?
No, we are very much aggressive now. See, in the current year itself, we plan to add around 1,600 vehicles. Out of that, around 800 plus vehicles have been already procured. The remaining 800 vehicles are going to come before September. See, moreover, see, 100% we cannot own and operate. Sometimes what will happen, there will be change in the demand supply. Some seasonality will be there. Beginning of the month, there will be less load. At the quarter, you know, end of the month or quarter end, there will be substantial demand. So considering all these factors, we are very cautious on increasing our capacity also. So with these all metrics, we will analyze it properly. We have to study route-wise analysis, route-wise demand also. See, sometimes what will happen, there will be sudden demand from the, during festivals and all, there will be huge demand from Surat and remaining routes. But there will not be return load to the Surat. All these vehicles have to come empty to Surat. We cannot run empty. Again, it will impact on the margins. So considering all these parameters, we will add our capacity. To see that our vehicle should be used at an optimum level, and wherever excess demand will come, excess tonnage we are going to handle, that has to be handled through outside vehicle only.
Okay. So if I look at it
Sorry
other way.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Shah. May we request you to kindly...
Just one last question pertaining to buybacks. Will the promoters be participating in the buyback?
Yes, promoters are participating. And the size of the buyback is around 61 crores. See, this buyback is again just to have a clarity. This is only to the alternative to the dividend because of the effective tax structure. Every year we are paying the dividend. Now this buyback is for an alternative to the dividend payout.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Poladia from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So I just want to understand this realization per ton of 6,649 rupees. Sir, what would be the average distance covered in this?
See, average distance we are not monitoring this is across all the routes. Because we are handling, you know, the multiple routes. In a state alone, every city is covered, every town is covered. And like this, if you cover entire state, there will be huge number of routes. So we do not have that average kilometer concept.
But the pricing is always on per kilometer per ton basis, right?
No, it is not so. It's always on a route basis.
Okay. Sir, the other question is, when we say that company does about 11,000 tons per day, and
yeah,
the carrying capacity is 80,000 per day. So, is it that your goods from point A to point B average days covered would be something like 5-6 days?
Yeah, average, that is a case. And again, we have to consider, some of the maintenance, some capacity will be high for a maintenance, the loading and unloading factors, all these parameters we have to consider.
Okay. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ayash Shah from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Congratulations for good set of numbers. So first question was, do the contracts that we have, the 25%, do they have a price hike clause? And if yes, then when do we see that, when do we see a freight rate increase in those also?
Yeah, most of these contracts are having the price escalation clause, but it is related to only the fuel rate. If increase in other costs are not a part of these contracts, only when the fuel escalation will be there or fuel increase or decrease, accordingly those prices will change. But if you see in the last 1 year, the fluctuation is there, but again it is very temporary. Again, there are reduction in excise duties. And if you see the quarter 2 versus quarter 3, there is a stagnant in the diesel price. But in spite of that, there are increase in other expenses, which we were unable to pass even on a contractual this one. But these contracts are renewable once in a year. At that moment, other than the fuel escalation, we will consider increase in the freight rate as and when these contracts are due for renewal.
So will that also be 5%, I mean, or will it be dependent on the client to client? Or
yeah, it depends on the client. It depends on the tonnage, what they are contributing. It depends on the routes also where they are contributing.
And second question was that so earlier, last quarter, we were focusing more on the volume growth and we weren't focusing much on the freight rate increase, and with a EBITDA margin cap of floor of 15%. So has that stance changed right now? So will we focus more on margins, or how will it go ahead?
No, absolutely that stand is not changed. If you see, the volume growth is continuously going to increase. And the volume growth is basically the expansion of a network and expansion of the, our branch network capacities and all this. That actually anyway we are doing. And apart from that, I mentioned very clearly that wherever we are entering into the new market, new customers, obviously we have to offer a competitive rate. At that time, again, there will be the lesser realization in those routes. But in rest of the routes, wherever established, wherever we are not facing much of a competition, and in this, those routes and those customers, the rates have been increased. It is nothing to do with the increase in the tonnage versus increase in this rate. That increase in tonnage, the enhancement in the capacity, those plans are going to continue even going forward.
Okay. Thank you. That's all from myself.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Dixit from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Congratulations for a good set of numbers and thanks for taking my questions. Just two questions from my side. The first one is on the fleet size. So is there any specific target you have for addition in fleet? And what category are you focusing on in terms of fleet size addition? Also, is it possible to let us know the relative profitability of your fleet? I mean, tonnage-wise, if you have, that which category is more profitable than the others? That is the first question.
No, one is about the vehicle addition. As we explained our CapEx plan earlier, we ordered 1,600 vehicles in the beginning of this current financial year. Out of this, already 800 plus vehicles have been procured, and remaining vehicles are going to be added in next 6 months. And category of the vehicles, largely it will be in the range of 15 to 25 tons, means in that category. And there are some smaller vehicles also, but predominantly it will be around 15 to 25 tons in that category. Because these vehicles we are mainly using for hub-to-hub operations, and there actually we want to add more capacity, and there actually we are engaging more of outside vehicles also. And when it comes to your second question was?
Sir, also relative profitability, if it is possible to share with us which category.
As far as the profitability, we do not have those working. Always we do a route-wise, how that particular route, what is the rate, and how the relations are there and what is the net actually we are saving out of it. But we do not have a product-wise calculation of the profits. See, in a single vehicle, we carry multiple routes. For example, when it comes to Bombay, in a particular branch, if you take, say, any B1D or the Masjid Bandar or any particular branch, there actually the branch person will accept the goods as per our rates based on the weight as well as the square feet. So depending on the size of the material, depending on the weight of the material, the rates have been fixed. Irrespective of the commodity, whatever nature it is, he will book accordingly. So it will not be on a product wise.
So just to follow up on this, you said 1600 vehicles this year. Is it a similar target every year you are planning to add some 1000 to 1500 or something like that? Is it possible to give a longer term target per year addition of vehicles that you will do?
Yeah, definitely. See, now this is our plan till September. So in again quarter two of the next financial year, again we will revisit on our capital plan, and based on that situation, how the market is turning, where actually we have already established, how the tonnage is contributing, accordingly again we will define our capital plan. And even in the past, if you see, always see, around 85 to 90% always our own capacity we are using in our business. That trend is going to continue even going forward.
Okay. So the second question is on procurement cost of diesel. It's a bookkeeping question. If you can let us know the procurement cost of the diesel in this quarter versus the last one.
See, Q2 versus Q4, it's almost around 89 to 90 rupees. And even in the last year also, it was similar. In the range of around 88-89. But here what happened in Q2 and Q3 of this year, we were not having the bulk purchase. See, around 40 to 45% of procurement we used to buy from the refinery in the last year, December. That opportunity was not there in the current year from Q1, Q2 and Q3. Because the government has withdrawn subsidy on the bulk purchase, and the rates have been sometimes around 25-26 rupees, the bulk purchase, the bulk fuel was costlier than the retail fuel rate. Now what happened because of the reduction in the crude oil prices, and now again these prices are matching now. So the crude oil, the bulk purchase price is similar to the retail price. If we buy from the refinery, then we will save around 2 rupees per liter that we started now.
Okay, understood. Thank you and all the best.
Yeah,
thank you. We have the next question from the line of Rakesh from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Just one question on your capacity. So based on the capacity plan what you have now, how much volume growth is possible next year and a year after that?
No, again, I want to clarify here. The capacity ownership and the increase in the tonnage are both are independent. The tonnage increase always depends on our increase in the clients, increase in the branches, increase in the network like that. As and when the increase in tonnage happens, accordingly we increase our capacity. So in the current scenario, since the increase in the tonnage is more than the capacity increase what we are doing, that's why these outside, the engagement of outside vehicles are increasing. But going forward, we are very much confident that the current trends are going to continue, and even in the next financial year, we are expecting that around 20% growth in the tonnage. That is possible based on the current plan what we are doing.
So for this 20% tonnage growth, based on the capacity addition what you have, will the composition of your outside vehicle requirement will go down, or will that remain the same? The reason I'm asking is this will have a bearing on your EBITDA margin, right? Because the, when you own the truck, the cost actually goes through your depreciation and interest line. But whereas when you hire the truck from outside, it goes from your EBITDA. So just wanted to get the equation right, that what is the right way to sort of look at for the next 2 years margins, considering you are in a high growth tonnage phase and you have a certain plan to hire vehicles from outside also.
See, our plan is very clear. We want to grow the tonnage at around 20%, and accordingly the capacity is also going to be increased. Because of some temporary period, there will be increase or decrease in the lorry year, but it will not increase more than 10 to 12% to the revenue. So we will maintain EBITDA also.
So is it fair to say that if the tonnage continues to grow at, let's say, 20%, then the contribution of the cost from outside vehicle will remain in the range of 10 to 12%. Would that be a right understanding of the economics, how your P&L is working currently?
Yes, sir.
And if the tonnage growth were to lower, so let's say if tonnage growth comes down from 20% to, let's say, 10% or 15%, I mean, depending on the economic situation, how it pans out next year, would that mean that our costs would go down in a similar proportion?
Yes.
Okay. And secondly, how much price hike we have taken during the last quarter, and what is the benefit we will have in the P&L, in the sense that how much of the cost we are taking in our P&L, which is currently hitting, and which we will recover going forward?
So basically, this price increase is on the 60% of the tonnage what we are handling today, 60% of the business. On that, we increase 5%.
So does that mean that all things equal, your margin should increase by 300 basis points?
Yeah, see, if costs are stagnant, definitely that will be the additional EBITDA. But again, costs are increasing. So we can see at least around 1% improvement in the EBITDA margin, considering the increase in cost also.
Understood. So one bit more on the margins. So next year, again, we are talking about 20% tonnage growth. How should we think about operating leverage in the business, in the sense that, let's say, you are you probably would be, let's say, 17.5% margin if I go by your price hike commentary. So from that 17% margin and you have a 20% tonnage growth, what is the operating leverage that can play out for the margins to either remain same, go, or even go higher?
No, the operational leverage will be there, that actually we have to use for the expansion in the business. See, wherever we go enter into the new market, obviously we cannot earn the equivalent margin what we are earning in the established market. So on a net basis, actually we are saying that around 17% EBITDA level is maintainable.
Understood, sir. Thank you very much. And last on the capex front. So after this capacity expansion plan, how much capex should we sort of think about the sustainable capex in your business, or would you keep looking for adding more trucks probably in next year also?
In next year there are two, three developments here. One is about the scrappage policy. Still we are getting some clarifications from the government. See, it is a voluntary scrappage policy, but every operator has to get a fitness certificate for the vehicles. So how it is going to work going forward, we have to see. That is one. And more than 15 years, we are already having around 1,200 vehicles with a capacity of around 8 to 9% of the total capacity what we are having today. So how that capacity is going to be used after the CapEx policy? That is point number one. Point number two, considering this expansion plan, what is the capacity we require? That also we need to work out. But these are all more clarity we can give only in quarter two of the next year.
Understood, sir. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikram Suryavanshi from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. I think most of the questions were answered, but just to look at the fuel side, one more opportunity we used to have was a biodiesel. So how is the outlook on that front to save further cost, or are biodiesel prices are still not attractive?
Biodiesel, again, see, some interactions are happening, and currently we are using very, very low quantity. Still there is a gap between this retail price and the biofuel. It is not economical. But definitely, considering the current fuel trend, what is happening in the market, if it goes down further, then obviously there is an additional opportunity for us to buy or to use the biodiesel. But as of now, it is not something which is materialized as of today.
Got it. And this bulk purchase, what we used to do, that government has changed the tax structure, or OMCs have changed the pricing to match the with the retail price? How is that basically turned out?
No, the government has not changed its policy, but the crude oil, its bulk fuel price is always linked to the crude oil price. Now what happens, okay. Retail, again the government intervention is there. Actually they can still control the retail price. But on a bulk
Bulk fuel, just to have a clarity, it is not a government regulated or something, it is directly linked with the crude oil price. Since the crude oil price is continuously declining, bulk purchase or refineries are in a position to supply the fuel at a, even to the bulk buyers, which is equivalent, more or less equivalent to the retail price. So considering this opportunity, now we started from buying from the refinery. Since we are buying on a bulk basis, actually we can save around 2 rupees per liter.
Got it. So basically, crude remains lower, then probably at least on 30-35% of bulk purchase will continue to see that advantage, at least for us.
Yes.
Got it. I think that's true. And last on this, we also used to add some electric vehicle in our fleet, particularly for last mile and short. So how is that addition we are looking going ahead?
See, as of now, we are operating around 60 to 70 vehicles on a very, very small capacity. And there also there is a lot of these technology changes are happening. So accordingly, we are continuously focusing on those aspects as well. So once these are definitely useful for us as a investment side or even on the operating side. If that is the case, definitely we are going to add a good number of electric vehicles. But our continuous research, analysis, everything is happening on all the aspects. It may be CNG, it may be electric vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And even we are working with some of the OEMs to convert the existing fuel, diesel vehicles into the electric vehicle. Even if we are working under those projects as well.
Got it. And last question for me, because if you look at our business is more on B2B side, there might be very insignificant or low walk-in customers. So when we say non-contractual, what does exactly it mean? Because in the B2B, I thought
even in B2B, we do not have contract with the customer. See, around 40% what I mentioned, with those customers we are having an annualized annual contract.
Got it, okay.
So, in that 25% is monthly billing, and even some of the contracts are there in paid and to pay customers also. So on net basis, around 60% of the customers we do not have any contract with them. And those customers are B2B again.
Mm-hmm. Got it, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Sanjaya Satpati from Ampersand Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is that you have been mentioned that since you were going into newer locations and newer network, you were keeping your prices unchanged despite cost pressure. So now that you have taken a price hike, are you going to lose out on market share?
No. See, after analyzing all those metrics only, we decided to increase the 5% rate. Now, to give more clarity on this, see, basically, after the pandemic, we are almost more than a year now. From that day to till date, we have not increased the rates. And some of the routes have been already established. Wherever even we opened a new branches, new network, those markets have been already established. So considering these metrics or considering these parameters, we took an increase in the rate hike. Now, wherever again we are expanding, wherever we are going for the new locations, new branches, new market, henceforth, again, in those markets, again, we offer a competitive rate. There, again, the realization will be lower. But that strategy, again, it will be for a one-year period or so. So once the market is established in those areas, again, we can take an increasing rate hike in those areas as well.
Understood, sir. If that is what is the case, then you will be constantly adding your network in as much proportion as you have been this year, and so the new routes will continue to be less profitable. So considering that the mix will always remain somewhat like this, then how will your margin improve?
So the margin improvement, see, now just to, before opening of these new branches, just to give one more example, if you see the just year before, okay, our tonnage was almost around 25-30% lower than the current tonnage. On that tonnage, actually, now whatever increase is there on the tonnage, whatever the existing tonnage was also there, on the entire tonnage, we increase the rate. So, whatever the additional tonnage is going to come, say 20%, 15-20% additional tonnage is going to come, only on that tonnage, the realization will be lower.
And so, what kind of the price difference is there between you and your competitor in new routes and old routes?
See, old routes, again, when it comes to compliant transaction, see, definitely we are charging a little bit premium to them. When it comes to non-compliant transactions, the other people are charging hefty rates. It is just not at all comparable, 2 to 3 times more than our rates. So that's why still they are in the market, the most of the unorganized operators. But that ratio is drastically going to come, and it is coming down. So that's how it is going to help us.
Understood. And so last thing just wanted to understand is that this quarter your volume growth was about 13% odd. And so considering that there is a kind of a slowdown which we are seeing almost everywhere, how is it that you are looking at sustaining 20% volume growth? Is that what I heard correctly, sir?
Yeah. So, see, the thing here is, again, see, we are highly diversified. That is a plus point in our case. So, dependence, even the top customer contribution is not 1%. Even top 10 customers, if you see, it is not even 3%. And even, just I want to give one more information. Even if you consider the top route contribution, it is hardly around 1 or 2%. See, that is the kind of diversity we are having. It is highly fragmented. We are having 7 lakh plus customers. Which all the sectors, if one side downfall, another side will improve. Like this. So, the Indian, whatever the daily requirement to the Indian population, we are carrying. In slowdown, the basic needs of the people, the basic commodities, that demand is not going to reduce.
That is true, but sir, your growth rate came off this quarter.
Sorry?
Your growth rate was lower than this 20% which you were targeting in quarter 3. Quarter 3 growth was on 13%, right, sir?
Correct. See, quarter 3 is always a good quarter. Now what will happen, this base will continue in Q4 and hence onwards. So in Q4, Q1, if you see the last year, those bases are small. So with this base, Q3 of base, definitely the percentage will be more in the coming quarters.
Say, very last question, if you can just explain, sir, a lot of your one-off transactions will get completed in quarter four, including buses and power. So, can you give us a sense, like, what would be your actual gross debt and net debt at the end of all these transactions getting over?
No, after these transactions are over, as of now, I said, including that investment in the mutual funds, if you see, we are debt-free as of today. And going forward, whatever new capex we are going to increase, we use our further internal accruals to meet our capital expenditure, and a little bit debt we may take. But at debt level, we'll not cross around 50 to 60 crores at any point in time. That is our view.
It is gross debt or net debt, sir?
It is a net debt, what I am saying.
Okay.
And after this buyback also, again, there will be change. See, you can assume the debt levels will be always less than, around 100 crores, net debt.
Understood. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Keshav Bagri from VT Capital. Please go ahead.
So my question is that the entire industry is moving on an asset-light model. And VRL Logistics is the only player which has a fleet size of around 5,000 plus vehicles. So this leads to depreciation being a major chunk in our expenses along with the interest cost, which leads to difficulty in attaining double-digit PAT margins. So how do you see this playing out in the future? Like, will we be able to achieve double-digit PAT margins?
As I said, our strategy is very, very clear. We will continue our operations with having our own infrastructure facilities, assisted the vehicles. That is going to continue. The depreciation, yes, that will be additional charge in the depreciation, but always we more concentrate on the cash flows, the cash profit, which is much, much better than as compared to other players in the industry. So that's the reason this trend is going to continue. Around 90% of our operation, we want to invest in infrastructure and operate. That is very clear in our mind.
Okay. So my next question will be that we are in a time-sensitive business. So how do we plan to invest in automation of our hubs, or we are planning to build some sorting centers because it will help in reducing our turnaround time?
Yeah, definitely. We are continuously working on it, and wherever on need basis, definitely we are doing a lot of automation. And even if you see the hub operations, even the material handling compared to earlier, the technology updates and everything are much changed now. So that's the reason the turnaround times have been improved. That's why we are in a position to add more of our corporate customers also. And more the customers we need, the commodities on time.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nimish Shah from MK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So I had a question on the branch expansion that we are doing. So like you mentioned, we have added about 218 branches post-pandemic and about 127 branches in the first 9 months. So can you help us understand how much of these branches would have broken even by now, and what would be the utilization levels for those branches?
See, except around the branches which are opened in the last quarter, say, hardly around 15-20 branches are not reached break even, but all rest of the branches have been reached break even. So now to reach a break even, it is hardly around 2 to 3 months the branches are reaching break even.
Understood. Okay. And sir, if you could help us understand what would have been the organic growth this quarter and in the first 9 months. Like you mentioned, the new branches contributed 12% to the tonnage, but if you could just help us understand what would have been the organic growth excluding the branches.
No, the overall growth is around, if you see the 9 months to 9 months, we've grown, the tonnage is increased by around 24%. Out of this, in the current quarter, this 12% growth is coming. But this is, since I clarified in the first question itself, the overall, this is contributing both booking and delivery of the consignments.
if you see the growth metrics or something, it will be the contributing around 6% and remaining is contributing from the existing branches.
So 6% would be for the first 9 months or this quarter?
For year on year growth, I'm saying.
Yeah, but for the first
year on year growth is around 15%. On that, around 6% from the new branches and remaining 9% from the existing branches.
Understood. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Srinidhi Karlekar from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Sunil, given in terms of there are too many moving parts in terms of buyback, receipts from the divestment of the business and the ongoing capex program, wondering would it be possible to guide us on likely level of net debt as we end this financial year?
Yeah, by end of this financial year, the net debt will be around, say, 50 to 60 crores.
Okay.
Because, see, as of now, whatever consideration has been received out of that, the 50 crores is invested into mutual fund, which will be used for the payment of taxes related to these transactions. And excluding that, we are having a debt of around 50 to 60 crores, and we have to do capex also. With buyback, it will be around 100 crores. Instead of 50, 60 crores, it will be around 100 crores.
So including buyback, you are guiding for about 100 crore of net debt, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, understood. Sunil, correct me if I'm wrong. In the last call, you guided that our margins in the contractual customer as well as non-contractual business is broadly similar. Is that correct?
In what terms?
In terms of EBITDA margins.
Yeah, it will be similar. Now, after increasing the rates, the non-contractual EBITDA will be better. But again, it is a time gap because in contractual, what will happen, as and when we renew those agreements, we will do some rate hike. That is not possible in non-contractual. Over a period of time, again, it will be similar. But as of now, the non-contractual customer margins are better.
And Sunil, in which month or in which quarter typically we revise contracts for the larger customers?
So it will be on a continuous process, but most of the contracts will be renewed in the month of April.
Okay. Yeah. At the start of new financial year, basically.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alok Deshpande from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Sunil sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. My first question is, in this quarter gone by and looking forward, which are the top 2-3 sectors from which you are expecting this 15-20% kind of volume growth to come in? So 2-3 big ones which can contribute to that volume growth number.
See, basically, contribution is happening across all the sectors because we are depending on, many sectors, as I said. But typically, wherever the unorganized contribution is on a higher side, from there, actually, the contribution or growth rate will be much higher. As I said, even in the current, some of the sectors I mentioned about this agri-commodities, the footwear, and see, agri-commodities, basically, again, the coconut product, the dry fruits market, and even some of the areca nuts, what I mentioned earlier also, that is continuously shifting to us. These products, we are expecting higher growth. And similarly, the leather market, especially from UP and surrounding areas, those markets are improving. And apart from that, even on a textile front also, the Surat and other areas, most of these earlier they used to engage, a lot of these small players and other things. Even that market is shifting to us. So broadly, if you see, even some of the FMCG commodities in the organized market also, that growth is coming to us. That is, because of the change in the regulation, because of this GST control, because of the e-invoicing, these markets are contributing to us. Apart from that, because of expansion in our network, because there is a good connectivity as of today. Even a lot of these additional customers also contributing to the newer route.
So in my sense, the more growth will come from the unorganized to organized market, and the remaining will be in the range of, again, normal growth, in the range of around 12 to 15%. And since we are getting the newer market and new customers, on all put together, definitely we are confident to grow at around 20%.
Sure, sir. Understood. And one other bookkeeping question was, see, this transaction of the bus business that you have concluded, since it completed in January, now, in quarter four, will we see any profit from discontinued operations at all, or will it be like only, I mean, how would Q4 look like when you report it? So only the trucking business, and then we'll see the cash on the balance sheet, right?
Yes.
Okay.
This will not be P&L item from this discontinued operations in the Q4.
From quarter four itself?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
For some comparison purpose, we have to show the previous numbers. But for the current Q4 standalone as such, there will not be any revenue or expenses related to these businesses.
Sure. Understood. Thank you so much and all the best.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sunil Nalavadi for closing remarks. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you all participants for your patient hearing. If you have any further questions or if you need any clarifications, you can reach out to me. And as I said, again, I want to put the closing remarks in such a way that our expansion plans are going to continue, our branch network is going to continue, the enhancement in the branch network. And definitely this will help us to grow further, further in our volumes. And there is a lot of shift from unorganized to organized players. That is also the additional benefit for us being organized players. And the rate increase is only to focus or only to pass on some additional expenses, the variable costs like toll payments and other costs. These are directly we can pass it on to the customers. Considering these expenses, actually we have increased the 5% rate only on the non-contractual customers. But our growth plan, our expansion plan, our increase in the tonnage plan is going to continue. So with this, actually, definitely we are confident to maintain our growth rate in the range of around 20% and with the EBITDA margins of around 17% going forward. With this, I wish to conclude this call.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of VRL Logistics Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.